take your hand off God's people. Because what a powerful name it is. The scriptures tell us to pray in the name of Yeshua. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name. The name of Yeshua, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name Yeshua. Hallelujah. You know, we as people of God, we love to see miracles. We just don't like to need a miracle. If we're not put in the place where we need a miracle, guess what? You're not. You can't see God move for you. And then you can pass that on to others when God sets you free or sets a loved one free or God works in your life, then you're able to share, hey, if God did it for me, he'll do it for you. Amen? All right, Rabbi, I'm done squawking. What a beautiful name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The name of Yeshua.
The young people can be dismissed, are they or not? Okay. Go feed them more, Ken. There you go. Isn't that right, Bob? More candy is the best. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's move on to the... Go to the next slide, please. Next one, please. There we go. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We cannot forget that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. As I was coming around back here a minute ago, we had a little medical situation going on here. We had a little young boy with his tooth hanging out, ready to fall out. And the mother of this child said, Rabbi, sir, please. And I went over there and I ripped that tooth out. Thank you, Lord. See? But a powerful name it is.
Amen. Amen.
Teeth come out. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I just ask your blessing over this word today. And bless those who hear it and let it become reality in our lives. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. Now, a lot of you are going to say, the book of what? The book of Nehemiah. It's in the First Covenant. It's in the Old Testament. The book of Nehemiah. All right? It's on page 312. All right? No reaction whatsoever. Okay, Bob. They're all still worshiping. They're in another dimension right now. Thank you, Lord. Nehemiah, chapter 8. Turn with me to Nehemiah, chapter 8. Everyone, if you don't have your scriptures, raise your hand, because we'll get you one. Do you have a Bible with you? Okay. I think there's some Bibles underneath. Anyone see one of the Bibles underneath one of the chairs there? Anyone see one over there? You got one? Okay, she's got one. Anyone else need a Bible? Everyone, Nehemiah chapter 8. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let me give you a little background on this. The children of Israel, because of their sin before God, had been taken into Babylon, in captivity into Babylon. And they were there in Babylon for 70 years. But God finally let them go. They were finally allowed to return back to the land of Israel and to rebuild the temple area and to restore the walls of Jerusalem and all these things. And there were several groups that came at different times. And one of these times, there was a group that went with Ezra, the scribe, Ezra the high priest, or the Cohen, the priest there. And also, we read that Nehemiah, who became the governor of the area, that he was involved in helping to rebuild and restore the gates in the city of Jerusalem. So the people are back. They've been captive for 70 years. Most of them were born and raised in Babylon. They didn't know the Hebrew language anymore. They didn't know anything about the Word of God. They were pretty much ignorant of the things of God anymore, totally assimilated into Babylonian captivity. So now they're coming back to the land. Praise the Lord. Just like we see today, Jewish people are coming back to the land of Israel from all the nations of the world. And we're seeing a great revival among the Jewish people taking place, not only in Israel, but around the world. But God is drawing them from the north and the south and the east and the west back to the land of Israel. And we're seeing marvelous things that God is doing. So turn with me, please, to, if you're not there, chapter 8. And it's a little bit before verse 1. It's kind of like chapter 7, verse 73, part B. But there's a little line sometimes right above it, or sometimes it's incorporated in 8. But let me read. It says here, "Then the seventh month came, and the children of Israel were in their towns," back in the land now. "Then all the people were brought as a single body into the plaza that was before the water gate. And they said to Ezra the scribe, 'Bring out the Torah scroll of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel.'" Just like we took out the Torah scroll today, right? They said, "Bring out the Torah scroll. Bring out the scroll of Moses that God had commanded for his people." Now, in Nehemiah chapter 7, the chapter up before, we read that there were 42,360 people, plus their servants now, returned to Israel from their captivity in Babylon. 42,360. Now let me tell you this. There were hundreds of thousands of Jewish people who left, but only a remnant came back, because many decided they liked living the assimilated, secular lifestyle in the other places, just like much of the world today enjoys living secular, enjoys living, you know, in the ways of the world, not interested in the things of God. So there was only a small remnant of 42,360 that came back, that returned to Israel from captivity in Babylon. Now it says here, when the seventh month of Tishri came. It just says here, when the seventh month came. What is the seventh month? We are in the seventh month right now, or concluding it. Are we still in the seventh month? We still are in the seventh month. The seventh month is the month where we have the feast Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, which we celebrated. The seventh month is when we have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which we commemorated. The seventh month has the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, which we celebrated last Saturday. And the seventh month has the celebration that we went through today, the celebration of the Simchat Torah, rejoicing over the Word of God, these major feasts during this time. So they had Ezra the scribe, and a scribe is a scholar who studies and teaches the scriptures. They had Ezra bring out the Torah. And it says here that they went through the water gate. Now, we just read about this actually a week ago. The water gate, that was the gate that led from the temple to what's known as the Brook of Kidron. Now, during the days of Yeshua, This gate was used during the Feast of Tabernacles, during Sukkot, for the water pouring ceremony known as Simchat Bet HaShoeva, the rejoicing of the place of the water drawing. So that gate is very famous among the Jewish people, that water gate. Now look at verse 2 with me, please. Now Ezra, the Kohen, and that means the priest, brought the Torah before the assembly, which included men and women, like we have here, and all who could understand what they heard. This happened on the first day of the seventh month. Now let's stop here for a second. The first day of the seventh month, the month of Tishri, that's known as Yom Teruah. That's the Feast of Trumpets. So it's saying right here, on Yom Teruah, on the Feast of Trumpets here, Ezra brought the scroll before all the people. On Rosh Hashanah, which we know it as today, brought the Torah scroll before all the people. And this was to be a holy convocation, or in Hebrew we call it Shabbaton, but not just a regular Shabbat or Sabbath, but a big Sabbath and a big celebration, a very holy time. So there would be also the blowing of the shofar, because it's the Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of the shofar, and that sound of the shofar would be bringing everybody to the square. So they would all be gathering, and they'd hear the shofar, and the shofar would call them all into the square that they might hear the reading of the Torah. And this happened, actually, we know from timelines, on October 8th in the year 445 B.C. 445 B.C. I remember it well. It was a nice autumn that year. Quite nice that year. And that was about 2,500 years ago. Now, normally, women and children didn't participate in those days in these kind of activities. Of course, now we want everyone together, men, women, and children, all of us celebrating the Word of God together, rejoicing in the salvation that we have in Yeshua. But because of this very special and this very solemn occasion of Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets here, everyone was included. And because of the 70 years of that Babylonian captivity, only some of them could understand the Hebrew of the Torah. Because remember it said here, and all who could understand, there weren't many who could understand anymore. They had been raised in Babylon, assimilated, and didn't know the holy language anymore. Verse 3, we read, so he, this is Ezra, so Ezra read from it before the plaza in front of the water gate from the first light. That means when the light is just starting to come out in the morning. And you notice it's getting pretty late now, isn't it? It was after 7 before I saw any light today. Closer to 7:30 before there was any light. So from early light, the first light, until midday, in the presence of the men, the women, and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively to the scroll of the Torah. Now, Ezra read here continuously for about 6 hours to those who understood the Hebrew. Just like we were reading from the Torah. We read some in Hebrew, but the rest of you, remember we had 18 different readers or something. We had different people reading from the Torah. Now you're reading in English, but you were reading it. And you understood the English, not necessarily the Hebrew here. But he read for 6 hours to all those who could understand. And most of the people, as they said, had been born in Babylon, didn't know any Hebrew. Many of the people had assimilated into the Babylonian culture and language here. And it says that they were very attentively listening here. In other words, they were really focused on listening to what Ezra was saying to them. Now, our famous rabbi, Rabbi Maimonides, he gathered from this that as soon as the reader began the reading of the Torah, it was not lawful to speak about anything else anymore, not even things about the Torah, but you had to be silent and listen very attentively. All right? So when the Torah is read, when we read from the Torah, you shouldn't be talking like, you know, did you see that lady over there? Man, do you see how she's dressed today? I can't believe it. Oh, you're supposed to, you know, we do that, don't we? Yeah, we do. Thank you for telling the truth. But we should listen attentively to God's word when it's being read here. Verse 4 says, "Now Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform constructed for this purpose. Standing near him at the right hand was all these different people with names kind of hard to read here. And his left hand were some other people with difficult names to read here." Now this is the first mention of a bima in the scripture. And we actually have, we can call this a bima. We have a wooden platform here. And this is where the Torah is put and it's read from. In fact, it's believed that the concept of a wooden bima in a synagogue, like we have synagogues all over the world now, derives from this portion of scripture that we just read, that there's a high wooden platform and he read from that and he was above the people so they could all see and they could all hear. So it actually comes from these portions of scripture here. And it mentions here actually 13 different priests. Now again, I didn't mention their names. A little tricky there, aren't they? It doesn't mention them, but they were responsible for performing here the temple service during that part of the year. In other words, King David, many years earlier, had divided the priests into 24 divisions or 24 groups. And they would, these 24 would, a group of them, you know, would read or take care of the temple during the year. So maybe this time of the year would be division, I don't know, 6. And division 6 here would take care of the temple and all the things with the temple and all the sacrifices and this and that. And they would have a certain time of service. And then they would finish, and then another division would come, and they'd have their time of service. So it would be rotating. The 24 groups would rotate throughout the whole year. So this was most likely that division or that group for that time of the year. And they also relieved Ezra when he grew weary. Verse 5 and 6 says, "Now Ezra opened the scroll." He opened that Torah scroll in sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, like I was talking about here on the high wooden platform here. "And when he opened it, all the people stood up." And this is tradition now among the Jewish people in the synagogues. Whenever the Torah is opened and it's being read from, everybody stands up. That's showing honor to God as his word is being read. And also it's honoring the word of God. And the scripture tells that Yeshua, that Jesus is the word of God that was made in the flesh. So we honor God and his word when we stand up. That's why we ask you to stand up, because we are honoring God. It's not we want you to, you know, stand up, sit down, you know, so that you're exercising and don't fall asleep. It's because we are honoring God in all that we do. So all the people stood up. Now the rabbis deduce from this verse here, again, that everyone should stand during the reading of the Torah, like we ask you to. And Ezra praised the Lord. Ezra praised the Lord. Did I read 5 and 6? Oh, I only read 5. Ezra opened the scroll inside of all the people, for he was above the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. Now Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen, so be it," as they lifted their hands in worship. Then they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So Ezra praised the Lord, it says. Maybe he said like this scripture we have in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, that says, You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive all the glory and all the honor and all the power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Also, Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because they were slain. And with your blood, the blood of Yeshua here, you purchased men for God from every tribe and every language and people and nation. And it says here that the people, they lifted their hands and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, exhorts us in 1 Timothy 2:8, says, I want men, and this includes women now. They'll say, I don't have to do this, I'm not a man. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. Let's practice this. Lift up holy hands in prayer. He says, I want everyone lift up holy hands in prayer. Thank you, Lord. That's good. And the people here, they showed their intensity, and they said, Amen, Amen. And that in Hebrew, it's a Hebrew word, Amen. It means, so be it, so be it. We agree with you. Yes, you are right. We will do it. And they bowed and they worshiped. And it means that the Hebrew here means they prostrated themselves to the ground with their faces to the ground here. And we also read concerning Yeshua. In Matthew 26:39, it says that Yeshua here, he was going a little farther, and he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, but yet not I as I will, but as you will. Now turning to verse 7 here, in verse 8, it says, The Levites, and listen to this, the Levites, Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiath, Jamin, and Shabbatai, and Hodiah, and Azariah, and Jozabad, and Hanan, and Pelaiah, and these Levites here that it mentions here. Look what name is mentioned first. Yeshua. That name Yeshua is a name that means salvation. We, in English, we say Jesus, and Jesus in Spanish, and other language, and Korean, how do you say in Korean? What? Okay. And I don't know, we probably have some other people can speak any other language in here. Anyone else can speak anything besides Korean, Spanish, and English? Okay. Anyway, it mentions here Yeshua. Now, there's been Jewish people who are not believers in Yeshua. Most Jewish people don't believe in him yet. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? We got to be praying that Jewish people come to know Yeshua, come to know their Messiah. He came for them, didn't he? He came for the household of Israel. He came to bring salvation to Israel. And most of them didn't believe that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. But we're trusting, believing that many, many more will. Right? We're believing that. But anyway, they'll say that name, are you saying Yeshua? Where is that ever in the Bible? That's not in the Bible, a name like that anywhere. You know, take them to this verse right here in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 7. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 7. Now, in some of your English Bibles, it says Yeshua, with a J-E-S-H-U-A. There's no J in Hebrew. They only have Y's, no J's in Hebrew. In the complete Jewish Bible, it says Yeshua. Anyone have a complete Jewish Bible out there reading it? It says Yeshua, doesn't it? That's what it is in the Hebrew. If you read it in the Hebrew, it says Yeshua. You tell them, yes, Yeshua is right here in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 7. And it still means salvation. And he is salvation. Amen? Praise the Lord here. And it says here, did I read verse 8? No. In verse 8 here, and these Levites now instructed the people in the Torah while the people were standing in the place. And they read from the Torah, scroll of God, distinctly explaining it and giving insight. Thus, they understood what was being read. In other words here, they were explaining or translating it into the common language. The people didn't know Hebrew. They heard, you can, when I was reading from the Hebrew and Josh was earlier, you didn't understand necessarily what that was. Then we read the English and they explained it to you. Well, they didn't understand, so the Levites would be among the groups of people there and it would explain to them what was being said here. Because according to rabbinic tradition, they translated it from the Hebrew to Aramaic or Chaldei, which was language of Babylon. And the people, as I mentioned, had become very ignorant of the Word of God, and they were explaining what that was. Verse 8 and 9, verse 9. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the Cohen and Scrover, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were teaching the people said to the people, today is Kadosh, that is, today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn, do not weep, for all the people have been weeping when they heard the words of the Torah here. The people were told not to weep or mourn because it was Yom Teruah. It was the Feast of Trumpets. They told them, don't weep. This is the Feast of Trumpets here. This is a day, a holy day, as unto the Lord. Now the Hebrew for this phrase describes the reaction of those, of us even, who become aware of a threat of deserved judgment. And it says that the people listened intently. And Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, commanded the people in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the very Word of God, which is at work in all of you who believe. But it says here the people began to weep. Why did the people begin to weep? Because the Torah brought vividly before their eyes their sins of omission and commission. As they were reading from the Torah, they heard these things and they're saying, wow, I have been committing these sins. Wow, I have been omitting to do what the Torah tells me to do. So they heard these words from the Torah. So, and they, well, I don't think they knew Yiddish back then. That was much years later. But if they knew Yiddish, they said, oy vey, oy vey, oy vey. I haven't been doing this. They hadn't been following what the Torah told them to do. So they began to cry. And they began to weep because they had been doing wrong. They had left their God. It was a real mournful time for them, weeping. Like Josiah, King Josiah, when he heard the words of the Torah in 2 Kings chapter 22:11, it says that when the king heard the words of the Torah, he said he tore his robes. He literally just tore them. And 2 Kings 22:19 says, tore your robes and wept in my presence because he heard the word of God. And now going to verse 10, it says, so he said to them, I keep skipping over stuff, don't I? Huh? Okay. Today is, do not weep or mourn for all the people who have been weeping. Verse 10 here. Here we go. Verse 10. So he said to them, go, eat choice food and candies and apples and Snicker bars. And what else? Yogurt-covered raisins and gummies. And eat all of the gummies you want and all that stuff and the Snickers. Go eat choice food and drink sweet drinks and send portions to those who have nothing. For today is Kadosh. Today is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. In other words, this was to be a day of great rejoicing. And everyone was to share in that rejoicing. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, exhorts us to give to those who are in need in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. He says, In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Yeshua himself when he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, we're also exalted by Rav Shaul, again, Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And Yeshua, the Messiah, he read these words from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to comfort all who mourn. We are always to remember, people, that the joy of Adonai, that the joy of the Lord is what strengthens us to go on and to go on and to go on. Thank you, Lord. In verse 11 through 12, then the Levites quieted down all the people. Shh, shh, quiet everyone. Hush, for today is Kadosh. Do not grieve. So all the people departed to eat and drink all of their Milky Ways and Tootsie Rolls and all that. They departed to eat and drink, to send portions and to celebrate with great joy, because they came to understand the words that were explained to them. They were so happy to hear the word of God for the first time in their lives, most of them. In their lives, most of them were born in Babylon. The only ones who would have known any Hebrew would have been those maybe in their mid-70s, 80s, 90s, or hundreds, very older people. Of course, 70 is not old anymore, right? 70 is young. They say 70 is the old 60, right? That's what they say. Okay. Anyway, so where am I? Oh, verse 11, Psalm 46, read 11 and 12, okay. Then the Levites quieted them, all the people departed because they understood the words explained to them. They finally understood all these words. Psalm 46, 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And the people here, they celebrated with great joy because God's word had been made known to them finally. This was probably the first time most of them had ever heard these words from the Torah, and it brought joy to them, really joy to them. So let's end now in verses 13 through 15. On the second day, the heads of the families, along with the Kohanim, the priests, the Levites, they gathered around Ezra to ponder the words, to think about the words of the Torah. And they found written in the Torah that the Lord had commanded, listen to these words, through Moses, that the chosen of Israel would dwell in Sukkot, in Sukkot, during the feast of the seventh month, which we just did, so that they should proclaim and spread the message in all their towns and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the hill country and bring olive branches and wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of other leafy trees to make Sukkot, Sukkot, just as it's written. So the people went out and they brought branches and made sukkahs for themselves. Each, actually, sukkahs is not right. It's sukkot is the plural of sukkah. And they made sukkot for themselves, each on their roofs and their courtyards and the courtyards of the house of God and the plaza before the water gate and the plaza before the Ephraim gate. And the entire, wait a minute, went a little bit too far. Oh, yeah, I'm going too far here. Just supposed to read through verse 15 there. All right. So they went and got all those olives, whatever. Now the detailed study of the Torah caused many of the leaders to come to Ezra the next day for further instruction, especially concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. And after they heard what the Torah had to say about this, they all wanted to now fulfill the words of the Torah and build these sukkahs. In fact, you go out there in the parking lot, you'll see a little sukkah. Did anyone see it on the way to come up here? You saw it. Okay. They just read about it, so he said, let's do it. Let's build it. Let's celebrate all these things. Now, the Jewish people has observed this great feast for centuries. But now they realize, more from the careful study of the Torah, that they should live in it for 7 days, because they were in the seventh month. It just turned out all these events were taking place as they were reading them and living them. They were actually in that time. And so they got the olive branches and myrtle and the palm and the willow trees and all of that. And they went ahead and built their sukkahs. So now we'll conclude. I'm sorry. Verse 16. So the people went out and they brought branches and made Sukkot for themselves, each on the roofs and the courtyards and the courtyards of the house of God, and the plaza before the water gate and the plaza before the Ephraim gate. The entire assembly had returned from the captivity, made Sukkot, dwelt in the Sukkot. And now it says here, since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until the day the children of Israel had not done so, and their joy was not great. So they hadn't celebrated like this since the days of Joshua, many years earlier. Day after day, from the first to the last day of the feast, he read from the scroll of the Torah. So they kept the festival for 7 days. And on the eighth day, which is Shmini Atzeret, according to the regulations, there's a solemn ceremony. The children of Israel had neglected to celebrate tabernacles for many years. They hadn't celebrated, in fact, like this since the days of Joshua, 1,000 years earlier. 1,000 years earlier, they hadn't celebrated like this. That made their joy very great. And Ezra read from that Torah every day. People lived in the Sukkot for the 7 day. According to the Torah, on the eighth day, Shmini Atzeret, which was this past Monday, Simchat Torah, which was this past Tuesday, they celebrated, as the Torah said. Now we read in John chapter 7, as we come to the end, verses 37 through 41, John 7, 37 through 41, on the last and on the greatest day of the feast, which is Shmini Atzeret, the eighth day of Sukkot, Yeshua stood and said in a loud voice, "Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Yeshua had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." And lastly, Revelation 7:14 through 17 tells us how the Lord will bring us eternal comfort by leading us to springs of living water, by removing all of our mourning and giving us great joy in him, which is the message of the joy of the Lord. These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. People, as we put our faith and our trust in God, God will restore to us all that the locust has eaten, all that the canker worm has destroyed. He promises that he will spread his tent over us, dwell amongst us, give us springs of living water that we might never thirst. These are the promises that we have in Yeshua, and we need to put our faith and our trust in him, love him with all of our heart and our soul, and all of our mind and all of our strength, because he alone is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Stand up with me as we conclude. For those who are going to stay for 2:30, as there's going to be the video. Shanika, did you bring your Bluetooth speaker? Okay, because you want to use that, Bob? Okay, you'll leave the big one? Okay. We'll leave the big ones up then. So that will be at 2:30. So if you're staying for that, there'll be some noshing in the other building. All right? So hopefully you could stay some for that. I forgot one thing. Important thing, everyone. Listen up for a minute. Next week, after the service, We're going to have a short meeting to talk about the building fund, where we're at, and also what we've been looking at and what we're talking about in regards to a building for the congregation and so forth. It's been a while since we got together and I explained what's happening with the building fund we're at and what we need and all of that stuff. So that's going to be, we said, immediately after the service.
Yeah.
So it'll be, are we putting stuff away first? Next week. I don't know. It's going to be immediately after the service next week. All right? We'll have a meeting on the building fund. So if you feel you're part of the congregation and you feel that you want to participate in helping us to get a building of our own, and you want to sow into this, then I encourage you to be there. All right? So this is for people who really care about it, want to be involved in it, want to sow seed into it, want to give toward it, and all of that. Those are the people who we need to get together because we're going to talk some serious stuff. Okay? And we need serious people who are serious about wanting to see this building take place. Okay?
Amen.
So that's going to be next Saturday, right after the service, immediately. Do you have something? The what? Oh, okay. Let's join hands, please, as we share in the Aaronic benediction. And make sure you face forward.